Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, episode 133, The Believer's Response in Crisis, Leadership in Crisis Times. Pastor Harley Coulterman delivered this message from Fort Wayne, Indiana on June 14th, 2020.
On the subject of believers, the believer's crisis response, you know, when we began to look at the subject of end times a few months ago, and we were studying in our cell groups, we were studying signs to look for before Jesus returns. We were talking about all of these kinds of things, and then in February, all of this stuff hit. You know, one thing after another thing after another thing, and now we went from, you know, general stuff that was already going on in the world, wars and rumors of wars and all that stuff. We went to pandemic, and then we went to another crisis, and then we're now in another crisis, and now some of our cities are burning, and just a lot of crazy things going on. And so last week I began to speak about, you know, how do we address these things as believers? We're the church. We're supposed to be on top of it and not on the bottom of it. We're the head and not the tail. We're above only and not beneath. So in times like these, we need to understand and know, how are we going to respond to all of this stuff that's going on in the lives of people and all the events that are going on in the nations? How do we respond? So as students of the Word of God, we really shouldn't be amazed at nor should we be perplexed by all of these things happening in our nation and the world that we live in. As crisis after crisis unfolds, believers continually are confronted with making decisions on how to respond to events and how to respond to people. Because have you noticed that people are kind of getting a little bit irritated with a lot of things? I mean, you know, the lockdown is just one part of it, you know, and all of the things. And some states are still locked down, and some nations are still locked down. Been pretty crazy. You know, we wanted to do missions trips to Cuba and to Peru and to Spain. I had to put all of those off because you can't even travel to some of those countries. And it's hurting them. It's hurting them terribly. We've got messages that some things are getting drastically worse in some of those nations. So how do you respond to all of that stuff? Because it seems like what Jesus said about the exponential increase in lawlessness, remember what he said about that in Matthew 24? He said, and because lawlessness will increase, the love of many will grow cold. So just think about that. You could think about it in terms of just the world in general, you know, and you see it all around. You see all of these things happening, and you see people reacting to this in some really dangerous ways, dangerous to themselves, dangerous to our nation, dangerous to the police forces that are protecting us, and so forth, dangerous to the neighborhoods. Lawlessness is abounding. I mean, that's what Jesus said, and it's just exactly. And so we studied those things, and now we see a picture of it. We see this is what that looks like. Some nations, they've experienced this over and over and over again. So we've been blessed in our nation, you know, that we've had problems over the years, but wow, it really looks crazy now. But Jesus wasn't saying just people out in the world, their love will grow cold. He was also talking to believers. It's a warning. It's a prediction and a warning. He said, because this happens, the love of many will grow cold. So we have to be careful, you know, which side of the divide we end up on. Are we going to be with those whose love grows cold just because lawlessness is abound? Or are we going to have responses that put something inside of us that take us to being part of the solution instead of being part of the problem? So that's what we want to look at. And basically, you know, it isn't rocket science. It's just basic foundational principles that you have to go back to in times like this in order to have your feet on the solid rock. Amen. So we believe that Jesus is the rock of our salvation. He's the rock of our deliverance. He's the rock of our blessing. He's our foundation. Amen. And when we have him as a foundation, you know, we can respond differently. We can we can be a blessing to people. We can be we can bring solutions. We can bring answers. And because we have the Holy Spirit, we have the prophetic that's available to us. You know, we can speak from the heart of God into situations and circumstances. Many times we can see things that other people cannot see, because God gives you spiritual insight into things through the prophetic and through the gifts of the Spirit. And that can be a huge thing. I mean, just think about our government leaders, you know, with all the problems that they're facing. If they didn't have the help of God, or if they didn't have somebody around them to give some spiritual compass, some direction from the heart of God on what to do about impossible situations, where would we be? So that's why we need to pray for our leaders. You know, Paul said in some of his writings to the believers that, you know, we should first of all pray for kings and those in authority, so that we can live a quiet and peaceful life. I mean, maybe that's a little selfish, but if God says it in his word, and he says this is the solution to having that happen in your nation, why wouldn't you pray for your leaders? They say, well, I don't like them. Well, it is not about who you like and so forth. I think, you know, when Paul lived in the Roman Empire, there were probably a lot of leaders they didn't like either. So it wasn't about who do you like and who you don't like. Who do you agree with and who you don't agree with? He just says, pray for them. You want this to happen? Then pray for them. So that's one of the responses. It's one of the basic responses that we should have. But just take a look at this end time prediction concerning the church from Matthew 24, verse 11. This is one of the things Jesus said would happen. He said, then many false prophets will arise up and deceive many. So if you think there's some deception flying around, and sometimes when we say there's going to be some false prophets, you know, we think, well, he's talking about in the church, or he's talking about spiritual people. But there are false prophets outside the circle of the church and outside the realm of God's people as well. And deception can run rampant amongst them because they're not serving God, so they have no compunction to tell the truth about anything. So he says, this about lawlessness of many will abound, and the love of many will grow cold. But then look at verse 13. This is what I want you to see. It says, but. Everybody say, but. It says, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. So just think about that. You can be amongst those whose love grows cold, or you can be amongst those who endure. Endurance, you know, has to do not just I'm just going to take a bunch of suffering. It has to do with persistence, and it has to do with patience, and it has to do with being constantly vigilant. It has to do with being solid, being stable. Amen. Endurance. You just keep pressing through. He who endures to the end will be saved. Now, the word saved, you know, in the Greek is sozo. It's salvation. And it has a lot to do with everything in your life. Because it's not just, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. It's, I'm saved from myself. I'm saved from my sins. I'm saved from everything the devil wants to do in my life. I am saved from danger. I'm saved. I have healing. I have wellness. I have wholeness. All of those things are encompassed in salvation. So the person who endures to the end, the person who presses through to the end, is the guy, is the woman, is the man, the young person who is saved. It's the young person who experiences that kind of salvation. You know, in Psalm 91, we often tell people, you know, just pray Psalm 91 over yourself. I mean, that's a great, great psalm. It says that if you stay in the presence of the Almighty, if you have His shadow, His covering over Him, it be His glory over your life, then you can say of the Lord, He is your refuge, He's your fortress, He's your God in whom you trust. Surely He'll deliver you from the snare of the fowler, the perilous pestilence, and so forth and so on, the destruction that comes at noonday, all of those things, and all the way through trampling on the head of the devil. But when it comes to the end, He says with that because you honor Me, I'll show you life and give you salvation, healing, deliverance, blessing. Psalm 91 is a great psalm to pray in times like these. Amen? I mean, it makes sense to pray that. I probably should do it in good times and bad times. Amen? Amen? But when bad times come, then those are the things, you know, we start maybe thinking about things like that more. So then in verse 14, He says, and. So first He says, but. And then He says, and. So everybody say, and.
And.
And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all the world as a witness to the nations, and then the end will come. So just think about the important part that you play as a believer in Jesus Christ, the important part that you play in the return of Jesus. You know, sometimes we say, well, tomorrow wouldn't be too soon, Jesus. Just, you know, come back, rescue us out of all of this stuff. But it's not so much about just rescuing you out of this thing. I mean, I believe ultimately He will do that. Because just like He put Noah and his family in the ark in the middle of a generation that was totally evil, He will put you in His ark, the ark of His safety. Amen? Amen. So it's not just about rescuing you out of something, because there's some things that you have to endure through, press through, in order for the gospel to be preached to somebody else. Amen?
Amen.
So our hope and our dream is really that the gospel will touch the ends of the earth, will touch the hearts of people everywhere. I mean, just think what would happen in Seattle, where, you know, all this craziness is going on in the middle of that thing, if there was a big revival in the middle of that.
Amen.
And people started giving their lives to Jesus. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Yeah.
Or in Atlanta this morning is burning, so let's why not have a revival in Atlanta? There's many, many believers in Atlanta. Good churches in Atlanta, awesome people of God in Atlanta. Why not have a move of God, a move of His Spirit, so that the nation will be touched by the power of God and by the blessing of God? So when all bad things are happening, the first thing is to do is to look up, because your salvation is drawing near. Amen? Look to the hills from whence comes your help. Your help comes in the name of the Lord. He's the one who made and created heaven and earth. Amen? So, praise the Lord. So this is not a time to be sad. This is a time to be active. This is a time to be proactive. This is a time to be on point with what you're doing. So that's why we're talking about these things. So I want to kind of start out where we left off from 1 Peter 3 last week. 1 Peter 3, verse 8. He says to the church, he says, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love brothers, love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil, not reviling or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. So think about this. You're called to be this way, and you should know that you're called to be this way. And then he says, so that you can inherit a blessing.
Amen.
So, I mean, who doesn't want the blessing of God on your life? Well, here's the, you want the blessing of God in your life? This is what you do. You have a life that model, a lifestyle that models this. Having compassion, loving as brothers and sisters, being tenderhearted, being courteous, not returning evil for evil, reviling for reviling. See, the stuff that's going on that irritates you, that annoys the fire out of you, what's the first flesh reaction? It's to retaliate, isn't it? Or if you don't want to retaliate yourself, you want somebody else to retaliate for you to get those guys that are doing this stuff. Amen? Doesn't that rise up inside of us when you read too much news? When you hear too much media, or when somebody around you is spouting all of this stuff, you know? Okay, so he says, this is how you handle that. And then he says, verse 10, for he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. So instead of joining all of this stuff that's going on by the things that we say and just spewing it all out, and somebody said, I just got to get it off my chest. No, you don't really have to. That's your choice. You want to talk that way? It's your choice. You want to talk trash? It's your choice. If you want to speak the word of God, that's your choice. But it's a choice of how you respond verbally to what other people are saying, doing, acting, and so forth and so on. So as believers, we have a responsibility because we know this. We know these truths. He says, if you want to see love life and see good days, this is what you do. Just keep your mouth shut.
Amen.
Just zip your lip. The Santos, don't you be casting devils out of your wife. I tried that once with Pastor Karen. But it was only once. And we were pretty young in the Lord, and I really didn't, I could probably say I didn't know better, but that might not be true either. So. Hallelujah. How did we get off on that? Okay, zip your lip. Yeah, that's it. Verse 11, let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Now, if you're seeking peace and pursuing it, that means you're active, right?
Amen.
Turn away from evil and doing good is an action, right? So faith has actions associated with it. These are faith actions we can take in order to have a right attitude and a right heart and a right response to the crises that we're living in. Does that make sense to you? So, pursue it. You know, if you're pursuing something, Santos used to pursue this woman. I hope he's still pursuing her. Because you know, some men, they get this attitude, well, I got her now. Well, yeah, you did. Welcome to the world of happy marriage. You got her. But if you quit pursuing, you got problems ahead. Amen. Praise the Lord. So now I'm meddling. Verse 12. Well, he said he was going to step on our toes, so I thought, well, I'll just put some back. All right, verse 12. For the eyes, now look at this. Verse 12 is really serious here. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. Who are the righteous? The Bible says that we are the righteousness of God in Christ, right? He says his eyes are on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers. So his eyes are on us and his ears are open to our prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So if we do the opposite of all these things, we fall into the category of being the evil against whom the Lord, the face of the Lord is against. You can't have it both ways. And we would like to have it both ways and let it all hang out and still have God bless us and say whatever we want and God still bless us and do whatever we want and God still bless us. But he says, if you want to have a good life, if you love life and you want to see good days, this is how you live. Amen? So, And none of these things are impossible to do. God wouldn't say, do it this way, if it could not be done. What does it take? It takes some discipline, of course. But it really takes following the leadership of the Holy Spirit. When our hearts are open to the Spirit of God, as Ellie was sharing, you know, He'll lead you to do some things that are not convenient, but things that are on His heart. That 89-year-old woman needed a friend, needed somebody to talk to, needed somebody to comfort her, needed somebody to just be there for her. So, I mean, it really, in a way, didn't take a lot of effort. You just had to sit down to do it, right? And listen. So, that's not so hard. I mean, it's hard, but it's not so hard because you're thinking about all the things you have to do and so forth and so on. But it's a good example, really, of how you can accomplish what God is telling you to do here. You want to see good days? You want to have a good life? Just follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, and through the leading of the Holy Spirit, you can be this kind of a person who has this kind of an attitude and who puts the flesh down and says, look, it's not about me, it's about what does God want. It's about what's His will for me today, what's His will for me this hour. So I want to look at three things then that will help you to keep your love from growing cold as lawlessness abounds around us. The first thing is to constantly renew your mind. So I want you to turn to Romans chapter 12, because I'm just going to go briefly through some of these verses in Romans 12. And then we're going to go to the next part of the service. We're going to have a little discussion time about one of the aspects of this, and then a prayer time and so forth and so on. So, but just three major points from Romans chapter 12 that will help you to keep your love from going cold. The first one is constantly renew your mind. Verse 1 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, so you can see he's writing to the people of God, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. As a living sacrifice. It says, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So, what we do with our bodies is important, right? You can't just treat yourself any old way and expect it to be good. God says, present your bodies to me like a sacrifice, because that's spiritual worship. So, If God is speaking to you about taking care of yourself, you know, getting some exercise, fresh air, you know, we've got this COVID thing that's supposed to be going around everywhere, and everybody's in fear and whatever, second wave and all of that stuff. And you can think it's nonsense or you can think it's truth, but a lot of what they're saying is based on supposedly scientific computer models. And, you know, I grew up in the scientific world. I've got an engineering degree. And I can assure you that computer models oftentimes are wrong because they're just models, right? I'm not an expert in that area, and I'm not a doctor. I'm not a medical practitioner. And I don't know everything about everything. But I know that computer models can be way, way off. And if you don't believe that, just think about the last election when all the computer models said that President Trump would not be elected. And then all the mayhem that caused, because that didn't happen the way some people expected. But it's an example of how wrong things can be. The computer is not God, and the people who run them are not God. They're only as good as the people who program the models and who design the models. And if they have no insight from God, guess where that's going? So, that's kind of a little off the track, but it's on the track from the sense that, you know, if God is speaking to you about taking care of yourself, you should take care of yourself because your body is important. Amen? If fresh air and exercise and sunshine will keep the COVID away, why wouldn't you do it?
Amen?
Amen? It's just, you know, if your immune system is good, it should throw off sickness and disease. Is that right?
Amen.
Is that a truth? Okay, so let's do things that make for healthy immune systems, right? And if we do those kinds of things, we besides that, we have all the Word of God backing us concerning Jesus going to the cross, taking our sins in His body. His body is broken for us, and by His stripes we were healed. Praise the Lord. So, okay, so that's about your body. It's your spiritual worship. Verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God is, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. Now that's an amazing scripture. Constantly renew your mind. If you constantly renew your mind, your love will keep from going cold. Because where does all the stuff about I hate this, I hate that start? Starts about you thinking, right? It has to do with your thinking. What are you thinking about? Sometimes you have to ask people, what were you thinking? You did what? So verse 3. For by the grace of God given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. So God has given you a measure of faith. Don't be thinking so much about who, you know, don't be overestimating who you are, because we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen?
Amen.
So when we begin to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, that means we're putting ourselves above others, and sometimes we're putting ourselves above God. And our mind needs to be renewed. Our thinking needs to be renewed so that we have a proper estimate of ourselves. I am who God created me to be. I have strengths and I have weaknesses. My weaknesses can be diminished by God's strength coming into my life. My strengths can be built by continuing to exercise the gifts that God has given me. But I should never get to the point where I think it's just me. I got this. Because about the time you think you got this, you're headed for a fall. Because God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So we need to have enough humility to recognize where God's goodness should be in our lives. Romans chapter 12, verse 6, skipping down to verse 6. Having gifts then that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them, if prophecy to the proportion of faith, of our faith. So what he's saying is, how should our thinking be? Our thinking should be, what are my gifts? What are the gifts that God has given me? What gifts has he put into my life? What are the giftings he has me operating in? Is it prophetic? Is it word of knowledge? Is it word of faith? Is it a word of wisdom? Is it discerning of spirits? What kind of giftings? Is it working of miracles, healings, gifts of healings? What area is God using me in? You have a pattern in your life. You should be developing that pattern in your life of the according to the giftings that God has placed in your life. So if you're a prophetic person, you should be using your prophecy. You should be using that to bless people. If you get words of knowledge, you should be using that to bless people. If you get words of wisdom that can discern things in the future, you should be using that to bless people. Amen? So you should be developing those giftings. Where does that start? That starts about renewing your thinking. Because if you're not thinking giftings and you're not thinking about ministering into the lives of people, you're going to miss it. If Ellie wouldn't have been thinking about that, you know, ministering to that lady and having her heart open to God, she would have just said, I've got too much laundry to do. I don't care, God, what that woman is doing over there. I got laundry. That's a mindset. But if you back up and say, wait a minute, that woman is important to God. I can minister something into her life, even if it's just listening. You know, listening is a gift too. You know, the Bible says, be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, because the anger of man doesn't bring the blessing of God. I'm paraphrasing that a little bit. But quick to hear is a gift. Some of us are not very quick to hear, unfortunately. Okay, so think giftings and think the gifts that God has given. Verse 7, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching. So how should we be thinking? We should be thinking serving. We should be thinking teaching. That's a renewed mind. It's a renewed mindset. You know, serving may not come natural to you. You may not be the best hostess with the mostest, but serving is something that God wants us to do, and especially if that's our gifting, then we should exercise that gift. To the proportion of our faith, we should exercise that gift. If we're a teacher, teaching is so important. We should be thinking, serving and teaching. Teaching is so important to teach others. Minister into the lives of others. Teach them things that will help them, that will bless them, that will lift them up. So if you have that gifting, you should use it. So this is just exploring how our thought life affects the things that we do. And then finally, it says the one who exhorts in his exhortation. An exhorter is somebody that encourages somebody. I mean, who couldn't use some encouragement? The one who contributes in generosity. Just think about what the world would look like if everybody was stingy. Don't you hate just being around stingy people? You don't hate the person, but you just like, when you just get this like feeling, this person is just stingy. You know, the Christian who goes to the restaurant, has a nice meal, gives the waitress a hard time, and then for a tip leaves her a tract. I've seen it happen. So, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness, you have to renew your mind to these kinds of things. So, I'm going to recommend at the end of this is that you meditate on these things in Romans chapter 12, because this is how we should be responding to crisis. So the second thing, first thing was renew your mind. The second thing is always guard your heart. The Bible says we should guard our hearts because out of it becomes the wellspring of life. Guard your heart because out of it come the issues of life, I think the old King James says. But always guard your heart. Romans 12, verse 9 says, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast what is good. When it says, let love be genuine, there are I think, four or five Greek words for love. And, you know, there's agape love is the God kind of love. There's phileo love, which is, what is that, brotherly love? And eros, which is erotic love, I guess. So anyway, there's different kinds of love. The word used here in this scripture is agape. It's the God kind of love. So he's saying, let that kind of love be genuine. In other words, don't be faking it. Amen. Don't fake it till you make it. Just have the God kind of love operating in you. The Bible says that kind of love is spread abroad, shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Amen. So let that love that shed abroad in your Holy Spirit, let that get all over somebody else. Amen? Amen. Come out of you and get on somebody else. Abhor what is evil. That means hate it. Just hate it with a vengeance. Hold fast to which is good. So this is about guarding your heart. If you're abhorring evil and hanging on to good and having genuine love, you're guarding your heart. Verse 10, love one another. Again, this is the agape of love. Love one another. And then it adds with brotherly affection, which is the other kind of love. So we should have the God kind of love, but we should also have the love, I love you, you're my brother, I love you, you're my sister, we're family. You know, there's something about family. They can fight with each other, but if somebody from the outside comes in and does something to one of them, they can be fighting all day long, but they gang together and take care of it. They get down to business, amen? They fight for each other and stick together because they're family. It's brotherly love. It's brother and sister love. Amen? Praise the Lord. Outdo one another in showing honor. Wow. That's how you guard your heart. You just think about, how can I honor somebody else? It's not about me. How can I honor somebody else? How can I outdo somebody's honor? How can I go an extra step? How can I go further? I'm talking about responding, how to respond in crisis. Guard your heart by doing these things. Verse 11, do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. In other words, slothful is lazy, right? Slothful. It even sounds terrible, right? Slothful. Well, you old sloth, you. I mean, you know. Don't be slothful in zeal. Have some zeal. Have some compunction. You know, get with it a little bit, you know. Put a little zip in it. Be fervent in spirit. Fervent means like white hot on fire for God. Be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So when we're doing those kinds of things, we're guarding our heart from all of the stuff that could cause our hearts and our love to grow cold. We're doing these other things and we're engaged in this way that we're guarding our heart. Verse 12, rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. So rejoice, be patient, be constant. How do we guard our heart? By keeping a spirit of rejoicing, a spirit of joy in the middle of trouble, in the middle of crisis, in the middle of problems. When Paul and Silas were in the prison, and they had been beaten, they were in stocks, they were in the dungeon, what were they doing? They were praying and singing, and it says the other prisoners heard them. So they weren't quiet about their faith. They weren't quiet about their rejoicing. And in the middle of tribulation, they were rejoicing. Be constant in prayer. They were praying. Praise the Lord. Okay, so the first thing is renew your mind. Second thing is guard your heart. Third thing and final thing is stay on the path of righteousness. How do you stay on the path of righteousness? In Psalm 23, I'm going back to Romans 12, but in Psalm 23, this verse 3 says, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So think about who is leading you. Is it Jesus leading you? And why is he leading you? He's leading you to be in the path of righteousness. Now, righteousness is what you become in Christ Jesus. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm a new creation in him. So I can't make myself more righteous. Jesus already made me righteous by his blood. He gave me right standing with God. The Bible says he reconciled me to God. But as a believer, I can stray off of the path of righteousness. Does that make sense? If I start doing stuff that's not in line with God's word, then I can stray off the path. So if I want to stay on the path, what do I do? Well, just going back to Romans 12, the path of righteousness takes you to a place where, as in verse 13, it says, you contribute to the needs of the saints and you show hospitality. You're a generous person, right? That's the path. That's what the path of righteousness looks like. So the rest of this chapter, the rest of these verses I'm going to share with you, he's showing you what this path would look like so you can identify it. So one of them is generosity. Verse 14, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. In other words, you're not vindictive, but instead you're compassionate, you're considerate, and you're thoughtful. Now, I know that's not the feel-good way of retaliating when somebody does something to you, but he says, bless those that persecute you. I have a friend who's a minister, and as his church was growing, some other pastor in the city came against him, just big time, and started bad-mouthing him in public and on the radio and on TV, and just really, really running him down, just criticizing him and telling him all the, you know, just giving him the riot act in front of people because he thought that, I guess he thought that this guy was taking people from his church or something like that, and maybe some people did leave that church and go to his. So anyway, he said, I was really angry. I was so angry at this guy because everything he was saying was not true. And he said, then the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, send him a big gift. I said, I am not doing that. I am not going to bless his ministry. But after a while, he said, I knew it was the Holy Spirit, so I sent him a big offering. It was a big offering I sent him. Not just a little bit. I wanted to send nothing, but I sent him a big offering. And he said, you know, that guy stopped talking about me. And he said, eventually we became friends. Because it opened the door for communication. Bless those who persecute you. Do not curse them. Do not be vindictive. Verse 15. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. In other words, have empathy with people. Relate to people with what they're going through and so forth. Sometimes, you know, we're just rude to people because they've been rude to us, we're rude to them, and we don't know what, you know, that they might be living in the middle of hell somehow with something that's going on in their life. But he says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Understand their side, where they're coming from. Verse 16, live in harmony with one another. Don't be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. In other words, live in harmony. That means there's no discord or cacophony. That's a nice big word, right? No discord. You know, I'm not a singer, so I can usually keep my pitch, but if sometimes when you're singing and something's a little off, it kind of pulls you to the off. And so he says, live in harmony, because it's the same way when we're living our lives. If we're not in harmony, then our life goes off the track. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. In other words, put down the pride. Never be wise in your own sight. It'd be better to have somebody else say something good about you than you just talking about yourself, right? Amen? Verse 17. We're talking about what does the path of righteousness look like. Verse 17. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all. In other words, be thoughtful to what is honorable. That's what the path of righteousness looks like. If possible, and this is an interesting one, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceable with everybody. You know, there's some things you can't control in the lives of others. I mean, there's nothing you can control in the lives of others. They have their choices. They'll be what they be. They'll do what they do. They'll say what they say. But as far as it depends on you, live at peace with them. So what do you do to live at peace with somebody? That means you have to look to the Spirit of God. You have to hear, what is the Holy Spirit saying on how am I going to deal with this situation? If somebody's really out of control, how can I How can I be the one that brings peace into this situation? How can I live at peace inside of me in spite of what they might be doing or saying or business they're conducting? So he's not saying live in peace as far as it depends on the other person. He's saying live at peace as far as it depends on you. So take the actions the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and live in peace with yourself because you know you're doing what God told you to do. And just begin to say to yourself, you know what? I have peace. I've got peace about this situation. I have His peace that surpasses understanding. He's guarding my heart. He's keeping my mind in Jesus. I'm not going to be affected negatively by what this other person is doing because as far as I'm concerned, we're at peace. As far as the things I'm doing, we're going to have peace. I'm not going to take one step further. We're not going to retaliate. I'm not going to do all this kind of stuff. I'm going to let God take care of the situation. I'm going to live in peace. And then finally, verse 19, it says, "Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink, for by so doing you will heap burning coals on his head." So some of you would like to put some fire on somebody. This is the way you can put fire on them. This is the right way to do it. So when everything inside of you wants to retaliate, you do the opposite times 100, right? Amen. And finally, verse 21, really important. "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." That's what the path of righteousness looks like. Amen. So first of all, renew your mind. Secondly, guard your heart. Thirdly, stay in the path of righteousness. Stay in the path. There are lots of paths you can take, but this is God's path. The Bible says, "The Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want. He makes you to lie down in green pastures. He leads you beside still waters. He restores your soul. He makes you to walk in the path of righteousness for His namesake." So He's helping you to do this. He will help you to do this. Praise the Lord. So kind of just wrapping up at where we started with 1 Peter 3, verse 12, it says, "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." So when you stay on the path of righteousness, God's eyes are on you. When you stay on the path of righteousness, His ears are open to hear your prayers. Amen? Praise the Lord. So what do we take away from this? You know, in Ephesians, we're going to have a little bit of discussion in just a second from Ephesians, but in Ephesians 6, it says in verse 13, "Take on the whole armor of God." Why should you take on the armor of God? Verse 13 says, "Because you will be able to withstand in the evil day, and having all done all to stand," and then it tells you how to take each of these pieces of armor, helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, sword of the Spirit, shield of faith, and so forth and so on. He's telling you, God has equipped you. God has equipped you to be able to withstand in the evil day. So if we're in an evil day, in an evil time, God has equipment for us. It's the armor that He's given you. So what happens when the devil sees the armor of God? Well, he doesn't see you inside that armor. He sees Jesus, right? So what does he have to do? He has to back down. Because Jesus conquered him, defeated him, disabled him, spoiled the principalities and powers, made a public spectacle of them. So this thing from Ephesians chapter 6 is an amazing thing. When we put on that armor of God, then we can withstand in the evil day. And that's what God wants us to do. Renew your mind, guard your heart, stay in the paths of righteousness, keep the armor on. Amen? Praise the Lord. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this time together. We thank you for the blessing that you've given us, Lord. And we just ask you, Father, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that you will just continue to help us to respond in accurate ways, correct ways, and ways from your heart in the middle of these evil times. Lord, that we'd be people with solutions, people with the answers, people with help. And Father, we know that our help comes from you. So we were born for such a time as this. Thank you for giving us this task of living in these times. And thank you for equipping us to do it successfully, to do it with your grace and favor, and to do it, Lord, in a way that brings blessing to our world and gets the gospel to the ends of the earth so that all nations can hear about Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who's coming back soon. And for it, we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.